Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. It is just a great privilege to be in studio answering your questions. You can call in from anywhere in the world. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And for those listening on Facebook, actually watching the broadcast on Facebook, another welcome to you. I've got an exciting edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. A reminder that the books that we make available are available for those who support the ministry financially. We send out a book as our way of saying thank you. If you're watching on Facebook, I'll show you the cover of the book. 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help. It's by Benjamin Weicker, PhD. He's just a great friend and a great writer. And this is a very significant book. You know, some of the books that screwed up the world I've talked about already. I want to talk about one today as we kick off the broadcast. It's by Nietzsche, Friedrich Nietzsche. It's titled Beyond Good and Evil. It was written back in 1886, but continues to have an impact to this very day. And his contrast is the mother of clarity. It's instructive to note that while Darwin championed survival of the fittest, Friedrich Nietzsche advocated for supremacy of the fittest. I try to make that rhyme. I try to make that alliteration, so you could remember. But that's why Nietzsche had such animus towards all things Christian. In centering on divine love for the poor and the downtrodden, Christian charity, in his view, served only to worsen the European race. And so Nietzsche had little regard for the weak, the tired, and the poor. Instead, he was consumed with forging a world that is ruled by the will to power. In his letters, he obsessed on striking what he called a destructive blow against Christianity. And he fancied himself the anti-Christian, the Nietzschean Caesar, der Antichrist. In 1889, I think it was 1889, he penned a book by that very title. It was called The Antichrist. And thereafter, he descended into the nadir of madness, meaning the lowest spot of madness, like an incessant drumbeat. He was pathetically resigned to chanting, "I am dead because I am stupid. I am stupid because I am dead. I am dead because I am stupid. I am stupid because I am dead," over and over again. By August 1900, Nietzsche was indeed dead. But his influence continues to this very day. He was the apostle of atheism. He prefigured the darkest century the world has ever known. A century, unfortunately, that may be eclipsed by the madness we are now engaged in as a culture. We no longer live in the pages of the Bible. We live in the shadow of the Bible. We still benefit from that shadow. But we've given up a biblical worldview, and now truth is determined by how big the lobby group is. If you want further detail on the life and legacy of Friedrich Nietzsche, again, here's the book available for those who support the ministry. He famously dubbed Christianity a calamitous arrogance. And so I think in light of that, you ought to read 10 books that screwed up the world, available for those who support the ministry prayerfully and financially. Check it out on the web at equip.org. You can see it there in living color. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI calls coming in. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to Rejoice. It's an interesting name in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Rejoice.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for having me on the broadcast. I have a question about tithing.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what your take is on whether or not the tithe is based on your increase, so your income minus your debt, for instance, significant student loan debt, or whether it's just based on your income and like adjusted gross income versus after taxes. I'd be interested to hear your take.
Sure. You know the old joke about this. It just depends on whether you want a net blessing or gross blessing. But really the whole issue of tithing is that we don't tithe, you know, for some legalistic prescription. We do it because we want to learn how to give, meaning we want to be able to transcend the tithe and enjoy the world of free will giving. So, first of all, with respect to the tithe, Moses said, we tithe because we want to revere the Lord our God always. And reverencing the Lord is not one of these principles that goes out of vogue. It's a timeless truth. So we don't want to denigrate tithing, but the real goal is not to be legalistic about it. If you've got debts, you want to be faithful to repaying those debts. The Lord is not interested in your money as much as he's interested in your heart. And your heart is free will giving, which means that you hold everything that you have in your hand. So God can take out and put in as he sees fit. So what you're saying in essence is, Lord, all I'm giving you is what you've already given me, and I'm holding that with my hands wide open. And so we're in essence saying, I trust you more than I trust myself and my own resources. And when you do that, you find out that you never outgive the Lord. But again, you don't want to be bound by legalism. If you have debts to pay, pay those debts. But continue to build your trust in the Lord, because once you've done that, then you come to the apex of living, a life in which you say, and I pray before every one of the shows, and one of the prayers, I never miss this. I mean, I don't ever remember having missed this, but I always pray this. Lord, my faith and my trust is in you alone. I worship you alone. In saying that, I'm simply saying that everything I have, everything that's coming up in my life, I just trust the Lord. And that's the safest place we can live. There's no safer place than in a leap of faith.
Amen.
Hopefully that helps.
Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much. What's going on Facebook, Christina?
We got some questions. Let's see.
So here's one I see. Bobby, I think Sanchez, is asking from Maryland, can you help me to approach Mormon friends? You see mm-hmm. that one?
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And I think what we do there, again, is I love the emphasis on the word friends. I mean, we want to do everything that we do with gentleness and with respect, but Mormonism is another gospel. And as such, we want to be sure that we understand what Mormonism entails. And I've written about that in various places, but the Mormon Jesus is a different Jesus. The Mormon afterlife is a different afterlife. And the fact that we use similar words does not mean that we pour the same meaning into those words. So you have to always ask people what they understand by what they say. And in Mormonism, you actually can become a god, meaning that you can be what God is now. You know, God in Mormonism was once a man. He became a god, and he sits in enthroned in yonder heavens. And as God is, you can become, which means that if you become a temple Mormon, you can ultimately rule your own little cosmos or planet, and you can have endless celestial sex with your many goddess wives and so forth. So it's a different religion. Mormonism is not monolithic. I mean, there are offshoots of Mormonism, but ultimately the polygamy of Mormonism has been done away with from an earthly perspective and now is relegated to the afterlife. But it is something that we ought to know about. And I think, as I always say, you want to take the straight stick of essential Christian doctrine and lay it next to the stick of Mormonism, and then you'll see its crookedness by comparison. Don't get caught on rabbit trails. Stick with the essentials, because that's where we want to ultimately end up. I mean, there's non-essential things that we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over. But on the essentials, they are the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Also recognize that Mormonism, you know, it has many things to teach people. You think about how Mormon families are oftentimes an example, how Mormons take care of their own, meaning that if someone is a Mormon and they have a problem, economically or otherwise, oftentimes other Mormons reach out and help them, which is precisely what the body of Christ is supposed to do. So if your gift is giving, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12, you know, do it cheerfully. You know, do it generously. Your gift is leadership, govern diligently, and so forth. So we all have different gifts, but we need to learn from how the Mormons have lived from the standpoint of taking care of those who are poor and downtrodden in their midst. And again, a great example for all of us in that sense.
Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show, like Christ, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we see that, you know, the people that are supposed to be doing good, that you would expect to be doing good and helping others, are not doing it. And the person that, in that context, they wouldn't expect to, is. And that's something that I think we need to remember, and we also need to remember that Christ, that God is written on all of our hearts. I mean, we are affected by sin, but we also do have the light of Christ if we choose to believe in it and to act upon it.
That's right. And you know, here's one that I have to read because you couldn't read it. Dennis, he says, "Hi, Hank. Just turned on my notification to let me know when you're live. What a lovely assistant you have, and smart too."
Oh, that's sweet.
Well, you know, that happens to be my daughter. It happens to be my daughter.
I look like your wife.
Oh my goodness, the chemo is still affecting me, I guess. But anyway, thank you, Dennis. My daughter deeply appreciates your wonderful comment. Hello, Hank. I used to see you on a TV cable station, but they don't show anymore. They don't carry my show anymore. The Facebook Live is great with your daughter. That adds a lot. I'm a supporter. Again, Brian from OC, California.
Orange County.
Ooh,
we grew
baby,
up there.
I love that place.
That is a great place.
I love that. Bubba Anthony, Nebraska here. Hi, Bubba Anthony. Hi, Nebraska. Love having you with us. And, you know, I'm going to sort of wind it down for the radio portion in just about a minute, and then we'll continue on with the Facebook. I want to say to hi to everybody that's joining us on Facebook and has questions on Facebook. And then when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your radio questions as well. Reggie in British Columbia, Canada, will be taking your question. And others calling in, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Do you remember, you can always write me, if you like snail mail, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can check us out on the web at equip.org. The resources that I talk about on the broadcast, available on the web. When you support the ministry, we'll send out the resource. Resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and letter CRI. So a lot of ways in which you can connect with us. Obviously on Facebook Live, Bible Answer Man Facebook page. We're now doing podcasts as well as broadcasts. So the Hank Unplugged, if you haven't seen that, check it out on the web at equip.org or go over to a place like iTunes and you can subscribe there as well. So a lot of ways that we are now communicating with people, not only through digital media, but through terrestrial radio, satellite radio. We're connecting with thousands and thousands of people all over the world. I want to say millions, but I never want to get caught up in hyperbole because I'm not sure what the numbers are, but they're big. We'll be right back for the radio listeners and continue on for our Facebook listeners. So stay tuned on radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Our internet-connected devices offer an amazing world of information and connectivity, and yet many feel more fragmented and disconnected than ever. Don't blame it all on Google or Facebook. Rather, a great deal of our angst comes from a more subtle reconstructing of human life, the virtualization of culture. The church, too, is being virtualized, but it more naturally provides the solution. Be sure to read The Virtualization of Culture and the Need for an Embodied Christian Alternative in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Hank Hanegraaff explains that while politically correct culture is quick to point out discrimination and abuse of women in other respects, there has been a deafening silence when it comes to the systematic oppression of women under Islamic Sharia law. Other topics include God made us so that He could be our Father in a way that reflects His fatherly relationship to His only Son, the rational inescapability of God. Was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. or call 888-7000-CRI. Ideas do have consequences, and bad ideas have cost untold millions of lives. Benjamin Weicker brilliantly and wittily distilled some of history's most dangerous and damaging thinking in 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help. To receive your copy of 10 Books That Screwed Up the World as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And of course, we're on Facebook, the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. We're also on radio, so we're doing a combo today. And people joining us from all over the world. Mark Wilbright from San Antonio, Texas, joining us on Facebook. And on the radio, questions coming in, 888-ASK-HANK, number to dial, Reggie in British Columbia, Canada. I love our Canadian listeners. I actually grew up in Canada. We immigrated from Holland to Canada. We're in Toronto, or near Toronto. You're in British Columbia, listening on CHRB. Hi, Reggie.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You know, it's a blessing to speak with you again.
Thank you.
I love your show. It's so informative. And, you know, I feel comfortable asking you anything. And it's a blessing to be able to find a brother in Christ that's so informed.
Thank you.
My question today is about Muslims.
Yep.
And seeing that they are seeds of Abraham, and, you know, they are said to be blessed by God. And I'm looking at a lot of people who, in the name of Jesus Christ, has committed major atrocities, far more than Muslims have ever done, when we're talking about residential schools and also slavery in the United States and Canada. It was all built on Catholicism, Catholic Church, and a lot of so-called Christians owned slaves. So how are you equating that and finding that Muslims are so bad?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, actually, Reggie. And I would say this, that, you know, if you were a slave owner, if you had sex with a female slave that you captured, and that being ratified by the Quran, whom your right hand possesses, that would be in concert with the life and legacy of Muhammad. Conversely, if you did that as a Christian, you would be going against the precepts and principles of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, you know, one would be the antithesis of what we're called to do as Christians. The other would be in concert with what you are called to do as a Muslim. If you read the Bible, for example, the Bible is very, very clear about slavery. Slave owners are put in the same category as murderers, adulterers, perverts, and liars. Not good company. So slave trading was something that was completely denounced in Scripture, although the Bible in the narratives communicates that there was slavery. Not the same kind of slavery that we're talking about in the modern world or the postmodern world, but slavery in the sense that if you were a doctor in ancient times and you had a debt, you could discharge your debt by becoming a slave. You could be a king and be a slave. You could be a vassal king, and you are now having to do what you do in concert with the demands of a foreign occupying country. But slavery is never commended in Scripture, and that is why it is biblical principles that were applied by Christians. You think about Wilberforce, for example, as a primary example. You think of presidents of the United States, even, who were deathly opposed to slavery and brought biblical principles to bear. And in that, also brought an end to slavery. pronounced it as a pernicious evil. You are absolutely right, though, in pointing out that there were Christians and even Christian denominations that ratified the idea of slavery, and that is a horrendous evil. But again, it is an evil that is perpetrated not in concert with Christian principles, but against Christian principles. I hope that helps. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dr. Ruby in Charlotte, North Carolina, listening on WHVN. By the way, just a postscript to my comments with Reggie. I didn't get it back on the line for some reason, but I wrote a book about this, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. And I use the acronym Muslim to give you a sense of the differences between Islam and Christianity. So when people ask about Chrislam, for example, some kind of a muddy mixture between the two, don't go there. You can't mix the two. It's like oil and vinegar. Just simply does not mix. I just got a note saying that Reggie, unfortunately, dropped. But thanks for calling, Reggie. Thanks for the conversation. Ruby, what's going on?
Yes, how you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that about the cancer that you got, but I'm praying for you.
Thank you.
But I was wanting your take on a preacher called, I think it's Geno Jennings. Have you ever heard of him?
You know, that's one that is completely foreign to me. I'm just not familiar with that name.
You're not familiar with him. I think he's from New York.
Oh, yes. I'm just not familiar with him. But I would tell you something. If I'm not familiar with someone, probably our research department is. So if you hang on, I can put you in touch with the research department, and we'll get the information out to you in terms of what we have or what we know in terms of that particular ministry, or I'm assuming it's a ministry.
All right. Okay.
That help? Not really, but I mean, that's the best I can do off the top of my head. Sorry. let's talk to Dee in Virginia, listening on the web. Hi, Dee. Williamsburg. Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, it's Dee.
Yeah, you're in Williamsburg, Virginia?
Yeah, I'm in Virginia. It's Dee.
Yeah. Wonderful. Listening on the web.
Yeah, I just had a quick question.
Sure.
Do you have any Hondas for sale?
Say again? Oh, my goodness, we're having some technical difficulties because I lost Dee now, but maybe, Dee, if you can call back, if you're listening to me, we'll take your call. What's going on with Facebook?
On Facebook, let's see what we got here. We have Don saying, hi, Hank, Don from Nashville, Tennessee. Talk about the gift of tongues.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of debate within Christian circles when it comes to tongues. Some Christians believe that tongues ceased with the closing of the canon of Scripture, the end of the apostolic age. Some Christians actually say it's demonic. I certainly don't fall in either one of those camps. I do, however, believe that while tongues is a gift, it is not a normative gift. The normative gift is spoken in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which is to say that if you speak in a tongue, there has to be an interpretation. And if there's an interpretation, then what you're saying will be edifying for the body of Christ. You need to encourage, exhort, edify the body of Christ, and without doing that, you are confusing people. And this confusion actually is kind of interesting from the perspective of what goes on in the Old Testament. Because if you look at the Tower of Babel, that is the confusion of tongues so that people will not build some kind of a humanistic enterprise. What you have at Pentecost is the exact opposite, not a confusion of tongues, but tongues communicated in such a way that the gospel may go out to the ends of the earth. And the reason for this is that Jesus was not merely a Jewish Messiah. He was a Messiah so that the gospel could go out to the ends of the earth. So the gospel you see in the book of Acts, and I just went through the book of Acts in the last month, and I'm now in Romans again. I'm listening to it a number of times. But in the book of Acts, you see that very thing, the gospel going out to the ends of the earth. I mean, starting with the great Peter Pentecost sermon. And then you have Paul, the gospel, going out to the Gentiles. And he reaches Lydia. Remember this great story in the Bible where he gets a Macedonian call? A man from Macedonia is calling him to come. And the Holy Spirit is prohibiting Paul from going to Asia. And so Paul gets on a ship the next day. He meets Lydia when he gets to Philippi, one of the chief cities in the Macedonian territories. Lydia comes to faith in Christ, the first European convert. Imagine that. I mean, the impact of that one act of obedience to the call of Christ. And we have, out of that, the greatest mission-sending force in the history of the world.
And speaking of Lydia, I was wondering about a question, because I have asked this question to you before, and I'm trying to find it. Where'd it go? Oh, there's the cue. So there's someone who asks about, they're seeing more churches with women as pastors and even teaching the church on Sundays. Is it wrong that I'm not with that, or is it something small? One pastor told me that they are just allowing gifts to be used.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a matter of what's called ecclesiology or church order. And there are certain traditions in Christianity that do not allow women to be priests or pastors. And the reason is not ontological, because obviously the scripture is very clear that in Christ there's no male or female. So gender doesn't play a role. Women are ontologically equal to men, but in their view, men and women have different duties, as it were. And the duties are given to us by precedent in the Old Testament and then followed through in the New Testament. So it's not a matter of worth, it's a matter of role. However, having said that, I've always emphasized one point from my perspective, and that is, if you are a woman with a gift, and you're obviously gifted many different ways, but if you're a woman with a gift, I mean, obviously you have gifts that I don't have. I might have a few that you don't have, but if you're gifted and you don't use that gift, then it is a sin. So if you're gifted to teach, and you were a Bible teacher in Hong Kong, and you've taken on the role of a Sunday school teacher here in the U.S., if you have that gift, you got to exercise that gift, and no cop-outs by saying, well, you know, the Bible says I can't teach men. Well, that's not true. I've been taught by many women. Now, what their roles are in churches, again, is a matter of ecclesiology, church order. But if you have the gift of teaching, you better teach. When we come back from the break and I hear the music, we're going to be going to break on radio in just a few moments, continue on Bible Answer Man Facebook. But when we come back from break on radio, and for Facebook as well, we have the quote of the day. This one is this word still proper? A doozy. I don't know. It's probably an old school word. But anyway, it's an incredible quote. Quote of the day, a little contextualization about the quote of the day. That coming up, give you a little hint. It's from Muammar Gaddafi. Don't know about him. You'll find out a little bit about him when we come back from the break. We'll continue on saying hi to our friends joining us on Facebook and taking more calls on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK. We will be right back, so please don't touch that dial.
Netflix's highly successful drama, 13 Reasons Why, has been widely praised by critics for its hard-hitting and unflinching treatment of adolescent depression. It has also been criticized internationally by mental health professionals and government departments for glamorizing suicide in a manner that encourages impressionable teens to consider that option more seriously. What is the Christian response to this controversy? Read The Irony of 13 Reasons Why, Perpetuating the Very Problems It Claims to Help Solve, in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. For many Christians, the reality of God is so obvious and undeniable that we're amazed anyone could seriously doubt it. And yet, many do. How can we help such people recognize what seems to be so apparent to us? James N. Anderson highlights six aspects of everyone's life that can be explained only if God exists. Other topics include, was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? The irony of 13 reasons why, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. From Machiavelli's The Prince to Karl Marx's The Communist Manifesto to Alfred Kinsey's Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, these influential books have led to war, genocide, totalitarian oppression, family breakdown, and disastrous social experiments. And yet, these authors' bad ideas are still popular and pervasive. In fact, they might influence your own thinking without your realizing it. Read 10 Books That Screwed Up the World by Benjamin Weicker. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
There, Trent, yes. If you're watching on Facebook, I'm kind of fiddling around with my sweater and my shirt. I have a little a pin that you can see. If you're, again, watching on Bible Answer Man Facebook page, it is a reminder to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters, particularly in the Middle East, but all over the world. In this particular case, it's the 14th letter of the Arabic alphabet. It stands for noon, or is pronounced noon, and stands for Nazarene, term of derision by Muslims, a term of solidarity by those who wear the pin. We also have a magnet that you can put in your refrigerator, in your car, wherever to remind you to pray for persecuted brothers and sisters, and also to pray that they're praying for us. I mean, I remember doing a National Day of Prayer interview a few years ago, and the interviewer was asking me to pray for the persecuted church, and I was thinking immediately, I hope that the persecuted church is praying for us, because we have become so decadent in our culture, even Christians. Those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips have turned to, well, they've turned to a sort of a fast food variety of Christianity. But anyway, the pin and the magnet available as part of our End It campaign. Check it out on the web, equip.org, or just, how do you do this? You just do E-N-D-I-T, End It, all caps, and then 41444. And you can go from one page to another to find out about the campaign. Yeah, that's the magnet and the campaign. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be going back to the calls and taking a Facebook question in just a few moments. But the quote of the day, it is by Muammar Gaddafi. It's in an address to throbbing thousands. It's memorialized on Al Jazeera television. He, of course, is no longer with us. But while he was alive, he boasted of the millions of Muslims already in Europe, which leads me to the quote of the day. Quote, Allah will grant Islam victory in Europe, and that is without swords. It's in my book, sort of in my mind too, without guns, without military conquests. And they went on to say the 50 million Muslims of Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades. That was a while ago that he said that. He goes on to say, when Allah mobilizes the Muslim nation of Turkey and adds it to the European Union, that's another 50 million. So the quote of the day will be on the web at equip.org, but I want to tell you a little more about it, and that is, as Muammar Gaddafi said, Europe is in a predicament. And so is America. They should agree to become Islamic in the course of time or else declare war on the Muslims. Pretty interesting. Gaddafi's words should not be brushed aside in cavalier fashion. He was sadistic, yes, but he was not stupid. And he understood better than most that Europe is swiftly moving in the direction of self-extinction. This is a death wish that is born out of all kinds of things. Abortion, euthanasia, same-sex sexuality, transgenderism, and all such things. And so the bottom line is, in nations such as Britain and Belgium, just two examples of EU countries, the native-born culture is dying out and a rapidly multiplying Muslim culture is filling the vacuum. I think if Gaddafi had lived to see more than 1 million immigrants being admitted into Germany by Angela Merkel, remember Time magazine dubbed her Chancellor of the Free World? He'd seen that. He would no doubt have prophetically donned the prophetic mantle. I mean, no need to fly airplanes into buildings when, with patience, he said, those same buildings can be yours. And I've said this many times. I've written about it in my book. A civilization that is becoming Islamic demographically will inevitably succumb to Islam politically as well. Again, I've covered all of that in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. The quote, by the way, of the day is in my book, and my explication of it, as I've just given, is in the book as well. Let's go back to Facebook. Kevin, he says, Hank, my first Christian apologetic book was suggested by you. Is God a Moral Monster? That suggestion really helped me with making sense of the Old Testament. I suggest this to others also. Thanks again. Yeah, so Kevin, he's a full preterist, and he's thanking me for a book that was suggested by me. Obviously, I think full preterism, Kevin, is a heresy, and I for people listening in, A full preterism is an idea that I think is heresy because it says that the resurrection has already come, the resurrection of the dead. In other words, when Jesus said, do not be amazed at this, the time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out, some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. That's happened. The universe that groans in travail, awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay, that's happened. No, it's not happened. There is a time in the future that Jesus will return. When he does, those who are absent from the body, present with the Lord, and those who are in torment, they will be resurrected. Everyone who's lived on the planet will be resurrected. And again, as Jesus said, some to eternal life and some to eternal condemnation. That's yet future. So if you're dead now, you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord, and you're awaiting the time that Jesus Christ returns a second time.
It's true. And I really appreciate, and I think we should talk about, you know, especially with this issue with Islam, I think that there's so many misconceptions about the Old Testament. I mean, I just find it kind of crazy because time and time again, the Old Testament, as opposed to God being this, like, this judgment, like,
well, this moral monster,
this thing of judgment, he actually gives, you know, if a nation comes to him, he comes to them with open arms. I mean, he actually gets mad at Jonah, and that's an object lesson for Israel, too, as well as something that happened, that, hey, if I tell you to go somewhere, go somewhere. Jonah didn't want to go because he knew that God would forgive them. He knew God was that forgiving and that kind, that even though that they had done wrong, he would forgive them. And there's several examples where the Israelites are given their just desserts, basically, because they're not doing what they're supposed to. They're not held above anybody else. They're also held accountable, just like anybody else would be. So I just find it very interesting that people think God is a moral monster in the Old Testament when I think he shows a lot of grace and love and understanding.
Yeah, we don't have two gods. I mean, there's not a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. We have one God. And if you want to see the most horrific crime in all of human history, it doesn't happen in the Old Testament. It happens in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, you have the Christ Christ, the paragon of virtue, who suffers more than any man, who suffers more than the cumulative sufferings of humanity in order that we might be once again in union with him, not only in time, but also in eternity.
Amen. And with our topic today with government and what we should be involved in, you know, I think that the Old Testament is really important too, because when thinking about that is, if we're not supposed to be involved in alleviating the suffering of the poor or crying against things like abortion and injustices like that, then why would God send so many prophets in the Old Testament? Why would that be there? Why would Christ identify with the poor and call us to love the poor? Christ says the poor will always be among us, but that does not mean that we should not alleviate suffering.
Oh, wow.
In ways that we can.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the great, great burdens that I have. I mean, it's a burden for my family. It's a burden for me. You know, we're going to stand before God one day and give an account for what we did while we were in the flesh.
Yeah, and we should never take advantage of grace.
No, and you know, Jesus talks about this, and I want to go back to the Facebook here in a second, but Jesus talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe it is, where he says there's no other foundation except for Jesus Christ, but on that foundation you can build. You can use gold, silver, costly stones, or you can use wood, hay, and stubble, and the day of the Lord will bring to light what you're building with. And if you're building with inferior materials, you'll be called out for that. You will escape, but only, says Paul, as one escaping through the flames. And so Paul's making very clear what the Bible makes very clear. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what he has done. So there are degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. That could be cashed out. I do that in a lot of places, including resurrection and my book, Afterlife. So two resources you can find on the web at equip.org. Casey Cole, will we see the third temple rebuilt in Israel in the near future? You know, as a Christian, the one thing we don't want to fixate on at all is the idea of a rebuilt temple. When Jesus came, he is the living temple. No longer any need for temple, priest, and sacrifice. In fact, Hebrews talks about the abomination it would be to go back to types when the antitype that fulfills the type comes. That is, according to the writer of Hebrews, I think that's the Apostle Paul, that is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So Christians don't look forward to a rebuilt temple during the tribulation, then another temple during the millennium. Christians ought to look forward to the Christ who already came in the first advent and will come again in the second advent. He is the living temple. But what's interesting about that living temple is that living temple is also constructed of stones. And guess who the stones are? We are living stones in the temple of God, Christ himself, the cornerstone. So let's not look forward to a rebuilt temple. A lot of people are trying to exacerbate hostilities in the Middle East by saying that the Dome of the Rock is going to be replaced with a temple. You know, the issue is not a rebuilt temple. The issue is the temple, the living temple, which the teachers of the law would not recognize in their midst. We, unfortunately, are done with the radio portion of the broadcast. We're counting down the seconds. We'll be right back here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday, wherever you are, the number to dial, 888, toll-free, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And please do, if you love this ministry, please do consider standing with us prayerfully and financially. You can stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, make a difference not only for time, but also for eternity, and give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And we'll be back, as I mentioned, on tomorrow's broadcast. I have another great, great monologue that comes out of 10 books that screwed up the world. So long for now, and back to Facebook.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the Internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Hank Hanegraaff explains that while politically correct culture is quick to point out discrimination and abuse of women in other respects, there has been a deafening silence when it comes to the systematic oppression of women under Islamic Sharia law. Other topics include, God made us so that he could be our father in a way that reflects his fatherly relationship to his only son, the rational inescapability of God.
Was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.